Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this, the fourth Sunday in Lent, Pastor Chris's sermon was titled, But Now I See. Here's Pastor Chris with the scripture reading.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, which is the entirety of that chapter. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some were saying, It is he. Others were saying, No, but it is someone like him. He kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? They were divided. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called his parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son, who you would say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been born blind, and they said to him, Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as of this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Neither since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The word of God for the people of God.
When a baby is born, it takes a little while for their bodies to adjust to their new, changed environment. They've spent the last 40 weeks being shaped and formed inside the dark safety of their mother's womb. During that time, they were created for this world, but the shock of the transition, it takes some time to really settle in. Part of the transitional phase happens early, right after birth, as their senses begin to awaken and they adjust to their new environmental stimuli. The muffled voices once heard in the safe darkness of the womb are now richer. They're fuller, they're more distinct, and yet somehow strangely familiar. Their eyes begin to open in the first few moments after delivery, and although the newborn can see the room, they can make out shapes, it can take up to 2 to 3 months before clarity finally comes. These first moments are some of the most precious for any who have had the joy of becoming a parent. They can finally hold and connect with their babies they've been dreaming about for so long. In these sweet first moments, the sense of touch is also awakened, as newborns often rest on their parents' chests. In recent years, there's been a lot of study about that important moment. The skin-to-skin contact in those first moments and days after birth, it deepens the connection between parent and child as both parent and child adjust to the overwhelming nature of this whole new world. The feeling of that familiar touch is shown to improve all kinds of outcomes for the child in his or her earlier years. It truly is an experience of sacred trust. The beauty, and also some might say the smell, of a newborn baby can sometimes overshadow the struggle that comes with the life-altering change that is becoming a parent. But anyone who's had this experience will tell you that life with a baby is a whole new world. Absolutely everything changes in a matter of moments, and there's really not anything you can do about it except for to learn to adapt and try to survive the next 18 to 25 years. Well, this week, many parents have been remembering those difficult first 8 weeks. With school out and workplaces closed around the country, many of us were spending more time than ever with our children. Accountants and researchers, engineers and restaurant workers, software developers, all of us have been suddenly turned into homeschool teachers, struggling to figure out how to keep our children on task, how to prevent that summer slump from happening here in March while still getting our work done from our home offices. Now, this was a change that nobody could have been prepared for. So this week, children's authors and museum curators and illustrators, they've hosted live learning events on social media to give parents a little bit of reprieve. You see, everything is different now. Everything in our whole world has changed, and it's going to take us a little while to adjust. Well, maybe this hasn't been specifically the story of your week, but as we think about our lives, whether it's becoming a new parent or changing a job, making a major move or losing a loved one, graduating from high school, or just adjusting to this new digital reality because of coronavirus, we have all had to learn again the difficult lesson that the only constant thing in life is change. Sometimes changes can be good. Sometimes they're easy to accept. Sometimes, however, they aren't. Sometimes our political and social and financial capital can shield us from the hard impacts of change and protect us from some of the shock that we might feel without those safety nets. And sometimes all we can do is sit back and watch as everything around us turns into something we never thought possible. As Jesus traveled through Galilee, he came upon a man who was born blind. Seeing a man in need of healing, Jesus immediately bent down and spat in the dirt and then picked up the mud and smeared it across the face of his new friend. And afterward, he told the man to go and to wash his face off in a pool called Siloam, which means sent. And the man did exactly what Jesus told him to do. He went, he washed, and he came back with his eyes wide open, finally able to take in for the first time the sights of this whole new world. Everything had changed. Everything was different. The man who was healed, he wasn't the only one whose life was changed on that one particular Sabbath day. When he returned to his neighborhood, the community that had called him a sinner because of his disability, they couldn't even recognize him without the stigma of his former life. "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" they asked. And he kept telling them that he was the same man, but they just couldn't see it. It was too much. It was too much to understand, too much to believe, too much to take in, too much change. And then we consider the Pharisees later on in the chapter who couldn't accept that Jesus, the healer, could be sent from God. After all, he does not observe the Sabbath. And as they discounted Jesus' credibility, they discounted all the evidence suggested because it seemed that he didn't exactly follow all the rules of the old world that they had grown so comfortable with. In fact, the whole religious community around the blind man, they held firm in their belief that this couldn't possibly be from God. Until finally they went out and they got the man's parents and they pulled him in and questioned them, "Is this your son? Is this the man who was born blind?" And even the parents, faced with this unbelievable new reality, couldn't accept what had happened. And in their response, they distanced themselves from their own child, saying, "He's a grown man. Go ask him. He can speak for himself." The man who was once a beggar boldly spoke his truth for the second time, expressing his belief that the healer, Jesus, was indeed from God, and the evidence being his very own rebirth. He had been transformed from old life into new life, and everything he knew to be real was now different. He had been reborn, all because of mud smeared across his face. The man born blind is just another unlikely disciple to whom Jesus offers new life in John's gospel. This story is just another one in a full collection of stories from John's gospel about the power of change despite its necessary disorientation and disruption. You may remember in chapter 4, the whole world saw a worthless and sinful Samaritan woman, but Jesus saw a disciple who just needed to be seen and recognized. And here again in chapter 9, Jesus is up to that same old work. He sees a man born blind, known only to his community as a beggar, relegated to life on the margins, a life of judgment and isolation. But Jesus sees a totally different reality. Jesus sees a man with endless possibilities, a disciple opening up to a new world of possibilities. All that needs to happen is for this man to experience the very rebirth that Christ came to offer. He needs to be set free from his old reality and let loose into God's amazing kingdom, where all are seen and all are welcomed and all are loved, where all are made whole. So you and I have probably read this story about a million times. And I wonder if in our old readings of this story, if we have focused a little too much on the man who was born blind as if he were the only one in need of healing. Despite the relentless testimony of the man himself insisting that he had been reborn through an encounter with God for which there were no sufficient words, nobody around the man seems to believe what has happened. I don't know whether he was a sinner, the man says, but what I do know is I once was blind, and now I can see. I don't know how it happened, but what I do know is that everything that I thought was real and true, it isn't anymore. I wonder if those around him, the neighbors who couldn't recognize him except as a beggar, or perhaps the Pharisees who questioned the validity of his healing because of the day on which it took place, or maybe his own parents who weren't willing to stand up for him or to stand with him, or maybe the people who asked for a second time, tell us again, how is it so? I wonder if they needed to be reborn too. I wonder if they needed to be made whole just as badly, but they just couldn't bear the pain of life-altering change. You see, sometimes we can choose whether or not we want to change. Certainly it's easier that way. Certainly we prefer it that way when we have a sense of control over what's happening, when we feel like we can control our transformation process. But sometimes there's absolutely nothing we can do. Sometimes there is absolutely nothing we can do except to put our faith in God and continue following one step at a time into the wilderness, which is the human experience. See, right now, you and I, we find ourselves in a time of great change. And many of the changes that are coming our way are things over which we have absolutely no control. The global pandemic called coronavirus, it has arrived, whether we like it or not, and it's forcing rapid and unbelievable change upon our rhythms of life and work. The virus is spreading, and it's forcing us to consider a different kind of economy, at least for a little while. The pandemic is here, and it demands that we face a new reality that none of us have ever known before. Everything is different now. And let me be the first to confess that there is indeed much to be afraid of. There's much to fear about what we might become and about what it's going to take for us to become that new thing. There's so much fear about what might be lost. There is so much fear about what might never be recovered. There is perhaps so much fear that we don't even know how to name what it is we're afraid of. All we know is that we are crumpled up, paralyzed, and afraid. I wonder if in many ways we might be feeling like our eyes are beginning to open for the very first time. I wonder if, like the blind man in John's gospel, or like the brand new baby, we are adjusting to life in the outside world. New information is coming at us so quickly and from so many different directions that everything has begun to feel a little bit blurry, cloudy, without resolution, and absolutely without clarity. It is disorienting. It is anxiety producing. It is our new reality. But even in the midst of all this rapid change, we, like a newborn babe, can still hear the voice of our loving parent who spoke to us as we were being shaped and formed and woven together. We can still recognize the voice of that loving parent who holds us close in times of trouble and who has shown us time and time again that God can be trusted, that God will deliver us through this necessary time of rebirth. Even as the virus spreads and the whole world continues to change around us, there have been signs of hope. Even as churches shut down their buildings, the people who really are the church are rediscovering one another and they are finding new ways to connect with one another. Even in this new world of social distancing, the church, defined by her people, it continues to serve the community, to reach out, insisting that we will still care for all of our neighbors. Somehow, some way, we will make it happen. And when we're able to pause from all of that work, when we're able to sit back and look for the first time with eyes wide open, we might see a sign. We might see the resilient and reliable bursting forth of spring, flowers in bloom, trees once again turning green, and that persistent coat of yellow pollen which has covered our porches and our cars just as it always does, reminding us that there is a future beyond this change. There is a future. There is a springtime, even though it feels like we are in the dead of winter. There is new life being reborn in our midst. There is new life bursting forth over and over and over again. It is all around us. We just have to open our eyes once more, or maybe for the first time, and open our ears to listen for that oh-so-familiar, ever-present voice of our loving parent calling us forward one step at a time. Amen.